Welcome to the 100 Huntley Street podcast. It's Mark and Lara here. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful day, whatever kind of day it is that you're having. We're glad to be with you.
Yes.
And we've got some hope for your day. If you are in need of hope, we want to be that voice in your life. And Lara, so hey, like we've got a fantastic show for our guest today.
We certainly do. I'm very excited about our guest, Mr. Max Lucado.
Ooh.
Oh, prolific author, speaker, incredible, incredible man. I've looked up to him for years.
He's just got such a way about him. He's so calming and collected and thoughtful and intentional. Like he doesn't waste a word.
No.
And that's exemplified in his books.
Oh, absolutely. And he tells these incredible stories that are woven in with biblical truths. And, you know, and I love that anyone could read his books, but they're also very limericky. Like they, you know, they're very descriptive and flowery sometimes, a lot of fun. You know, I've always enjoyed reading his books. And there has been, you know, throughout my life, right, I've worked as a writer, but I also studied a lot of theology. So I was trying to, you know, write Bible studies and just doing some things like that, really giving those gifts to God, right? And doing some writing. And this is prior to this interview that I got to do with Max, and we're all going to hear today. But this is about 4 years ago. I had a dream that Max Lucado, that I was in the house with his daughter, a house, and she took me aside and said, oh, look in this book. There's your name. You're in our genealogy. So this is
you're a relative of Max Lucado. We've got to put it. We've got to put it out there on the airwaves.
So it's an odd, quirky dream, but can I tell you, like, and I loved it at the time, right? I was like, yes, I could write, you know, Bible teachings like, oh, this is wonderful. Yes. Next morning, I'm like so happy, right? I feel like this is some sort of thing.
You'd heard from the Lord.
I felt like it. However, by the time I'm interviewing Max Lucado for this interview on 100 Huntley Street, I'm like fangirling. I can't keep a straight face. I'm like so nervous because I'm like, oh, there's the man I look up to as a writer. And a,
Max,
you know,
did you know
teacher.
We're related?
Yeah, did you know about my weird dream? That may have been of the Lord, so I'm praying it is. But anyways, so he's a really neat guy, and you know, he's got a lot to say, right? He's got a lot to
say.
Sure
does.
And
he doesn't overcomplicate it.
No.
I mean, there's so much depth to his writing, but he doesn't overcomplicate it. And that's what I love about this new book, which actually is a re-release of one of his very famous titles based on one specific Bible verse. Now, Laura, I got to ask you, do you think there's like one verse in the Bible that kind of summarizes the message of the whole book, the good book?
That's such a good question. Great question, but Max Lucado does, actually.
Yeah, he does.
If you're listening today, you're going to hear our interview, and you're going to hear the Bible verse that Max thinks sums up the entire story of the Bible and everything God intended through the Bible, through the life of Jesus, through his death and resurrection. Max thinks there is one Bible verse that summarizes everything.
Yeah, just fascinating conversation because I've heard the interview before and I can't wait for you, our listeners, to hear it. For me, I mean, it is definitely one of my favorite verses. We don't want to give it away.
No.
It might be a number that you've seen on, you know, paraphernalia at different sporting events, whatever, but we're not going to, that's all we're going to tell you. One of my favorite verses is out of Philippians 4, you know, and maybe it's because I tend to worry about things too much at times. I always have to give my worry and my concerns and anxiety over to God, but it says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which I think we can all use a good dose of peace every now and again, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to tell us how we should think, fix our thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And that's kind of a life verse for me. You know, like I kind of start with asking God for peace. I bring him my worries and my anxieties. Then he fills me with his peace. And then I try to be as intentional about what I think about throughout the day based on those descriptions. And hopefully that's a prescription for good living.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, even in this interview with Max, I asked him about, you know, how do we connect with Jesus, right? How do we really have that deep connection that the Bible talks about? And he talked about resting in Jesus. It makes me think of the Bible verse you're sharing right now, but just that feeling of resting, because when you're resting in God's, you know, arms, or when you're, you know, you're really pressing in these ways, It is incredible. The piece is really amazing.
Really is. Yeah. Really is. Well, hey, listen, we shouldn't make our listeners
wait
any longer. I mean, they definitely want to get into this interview, an incredible conversation with the one, the only New York Times bestselling author. Here's Lara with Max Lucado.
Is God on a rescue mission with you and your loved ones in mind? Joining me now to talk about this is Max Lucado, pastor, New York Times bestseller, and author of 316, The Numbers of Hope. Welcome back to 100 Huntley Street, Max. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. It's a treat to see you. Oh. It really is.
Well, it's such a gift to have you with us today. Now, you know, your latest book, 316, it's a re-release. But this entire book is focused on one Bible verse, and a lot of us might know this Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And a lot of us know this Bible verse, you know, maybe we've gone to church or we've seen it on a billboard or a t-shirt. And, you know, we might think it's commonplace or casual, but you say it's something very, very important. It's the hope diamond of the Bible. Why do you call it that?
I believe that these 26 words really capsulize the entirety of the Bible. The scripture begins with God, it ends with life, and the words cooperate to show us how God brings life to us. I love the scripture because it's brilliantly simple and brilliantly brief, and yet it is profound. You know, it's brief and simple enough that my four-year-old grandson can memorize it. Mm. And yet it's profound enough that the most serious student of the Bible could spend a lifetime looking at the key tenets, key words of this scripture, and never exhaust the beauty of John 3:16. So it really is the hope diamond of the Bible.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, I agree with you. It's amazing throughout this book. I know you unpack it word by word and what the meaning is. And it becomes so rich as, you know, we read this book. One of the things that stood out to me is that when Jesus said those words, he was speaking to a religious leader named Nicodemus, who had come to see Jesus in the cover of night because he was worried about what people would think. And I was reflecting on this, Max, and thinking we so often feel self-conscious when we make a choice to follow Jesus, even though we know in our hearts it's probably the right decision. Why do you think we feel so self-conscious?
Well, we're all concerned about what people think about us. And to follow Jesus is to acknowledge that what matters most is what God thinks about me. And what people think about me is secondary. But our default emotion is so set on protecting self that it's a risky thing to make an unselfish choice to set our attention on Christ rather than on what others think of us. So I think there's that hesitancy. Mm-hmm. Now, some of us, like yours truly, have made such a mess of life that plan B was not an option. You know, by the time I was 20 or 21 years old, I had made such a mess out of my life that I desperately needed help. And I really, it got to the point I didn't care what my friends thought about me anymore. I was drinking a six pack a night. I was fighting. I was a brawler. I was a troublemaker. And my life was headed over a cliff. And I desperately needed help. My struggle was less about I don't remember worrying or wondering if there was a God. I do remember wondering, could God forgive someone like me? And that's why John 3:16 meant so much and means so much to me. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loves the world. And I'm in the world. And whosoever believes, well, I'm a whoever. And so the gate to God's grace is wide. Now, I think the way to heaven is narrow, but the gateway is wide. He throws open the door to people like me. And that's why I found such hope and strength in the grace of God through John 3:16.
Well, me too, Max. And, you know, there is so much hope in following Jesus and knowing Jesus. And I think something that your book really draws on here, it's not a work that we do. It's a receiving of God's love. And to this point, you know, Jesus also says to Nicodemus earlier in that conversation that no one can see the kingdom of God. No one can come to God unless they're born again. And in your book, you unpack that this isn't even something we do. This is something God does. Can you just tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. He said, no one can even see the kingdom of God or perceive the kingdom of God. The idea there is you can't even understand what God is up to unless you're born again. Mm. Jesus did not tell Nicodemus, unless you try again. Mm. He takes the effort away from human effort and places it on divine effort, unless you are born again. You know, when I think about my physical birth, I contributed absolutely nothing. I really did nothing. I didn't tell my mom how to push. I didn't tell her it was time for me to come out. I didn't coach her. The next thing I knew, I was born. Somebody did the work for me. In the same way, when someone is saved, God does the work. We don't. We just trust him. That's why the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him. So we trust the work of God. Nicodemus was a religious man. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to trust his religion. Mm-hmm. He wanted to trust his actions, maybe his morality, mm-hmm. or maybe his devotion. He wanted to put the trust in himself. But as Christians, we place our trust in Christ. We let Christ do the work and rely on him. So to be born again is to simply trust Christ to do the work that we ourselves cannot do.
And as we look to who Christ is, you know, as we're looking to who Jesus said he was and who he is, why is it important that we understand that Jesus was fully divine and the only true way to God?
Yeah. Well, Jesus himself describes himself as the one and only Son. That's what scripture says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Other translations say only begotten Son. Mm. This phrase in Greek is monogenes. Mm. monogenes. We see the word genes in there. Gene, genetic. Mm. I carry the genetic makeup of my mother and my father. Jesus carried the genetic makeup of his heavenly father. To that degree, he's the only monogenetic. He's the only one and only that there ever has been. So Jesus himself says, I'm unique. There's no other one like me. He was like his father in the sense that he could reveal his father. He understood his father. When you've seen the Father, you've seen me, he said. I am the exact Jesus is the only picture of God ever taken. He is the presence of God. So that means he could do what no one else in history has ever been able to do. He could be our sacrifice. When he died on the cross, it was more than just the death of a person. It was the death of a sacrifice. He became a sacrifice. He died for me. He took my place. Mm-hmm. I am the one who deserves to die. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who's told God to leave me alone. I'm the one who's told God to get lost. I'm the one who's rebelled against God. I deserve what Jesus did. But Jesus, since he was unique, sinless, God on earth, divine, when he died, he could die as an adequate sacrifice mm-hmm. in my place, substitution. He took my place on the cross. For that way, he is the only way. There's no one else. There's no other person. There's no other being, however wise or kind they may be. No one else could do what he did. That's why we believe that only through Jesus can we be saved.
Yes, yes. Such good words there, Max. You know, the Bible talks a lot about people having hard hearts. You know, in your book, you write, you know, God loves you with an unearthly love. You can't win it by being winsome. You can't lose it by being a loser, but you can be blind enough to resist it. What are some signs that someone may be struggling with a hard heart towards God or resisting God? Maybe we don't always know we're doing that.
Yeah. Well, the tendency is for us to love ourselves. We just want to love ourselves. We want to promote ourselves. We want to We want to advance our own cause. Consequently, our hearts get hard toward God, because to come to God through Jesus Christ, we have to do something that people don't want to do. Mm. We have to admit that we're a sinner. We have to admit that we've messed up. Yeah. We have to freely admit that we cannot save ourselves. I can remember an instance as I was writing this book, mm. I was on an airplane and sitting next to a guy. And he said, "What are you working on?" And I said, "I'm working on a book based on the verse, John 3:16. He said, "What does that say?" It says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son." And he stopped me. He said, "Stop right there." He said, "I don't need God to give anybody for me." Oh. So his heart was hard. I mean, he couldn't even bear the thought mm-hmm. that he needed outside help. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I think. I think the pandemic, mm-hmm. I think the political controversies going on all over the world, I also think the global unrest, all of these things are working together to awaken us to the truth that we need help. Yeah. We need help. I mean, for crying out loud, if a microvirus can bring the world to a screeching halt, don't you think we need help? Yeah. We need help. But still, the hard-hearted person says, "No, I don't need any help. I don't need anybody to die for me." Yeah. And so that's the person whose heart grows hard against God.
And you know, Max, you point out that, you know, in your book, you say that if we really want to know the character of God, we will understand his love and really what he's done through Jesus. It's a love to us. It's an invitation. And there are people out there who may not know what love is really like. Maybe the person who was supposed to love them rejected them or neglected them, abused them. You know, Max, for that person who doesn't understand what love could be like and what God's love could be like, can you share a bit about it with us?
Wow. How much time do we have?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. You know, it's a beautiful thing to be loved by God.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. It's just extraordinary, you know, to think that you're special. You're special. Not because of anything you do, but because God has chosen to call you special. Yeah. Yeah. Now, the world says you're special if you're special, if you're rich, or if you're beautiful, or if you're successful, or if you're a great athlete. The world, everybody in society puts an if on that. Mm-hmm. But God says, "No, you're special because I made you. Mm-hmm. You belong to me." I don't believe there's anything that can heal the broken heart more than knowing and trusting in the love of God. Mm. Nobody listening to our words today is outside of the love of God.
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody is. And if you're saying you're an exception to God's acceptance, then I'm here to say you're not. You're not. Let God love you. It's just a beautiful thing, because what God's love does is it softens the hard heart. And it makes us tender toward others. Once I let God love me, then I in turn can love others. But if I resist the love of God, then I'm going to have very little love to give to other people. So let God love you. And don't think for a second that he doesn't love you. He does. He does.
Yeah, he certainly does. God's love is so powerful. And it's hard to put into words. That was that was great, Max.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And it is so transformative. Nothing is like it. It's an unearthly love, as you write in your book. You know, in God's great love for us, he wants to be with us. He wants communion. He wants connection. And part of that happens also in the heavenly realm, where we go after this earth. And sometimes we think heaven is clouds in the sky and, you know, an angel playing on a harp. But in your book, you dive into this a bit. And John 3:16 talks about eternal life. What does eternal life look like?
Yeah. Well, I think God gives us an invitation to spend forever with him. I believe the whole purpose of life on earth is to choose or reject this invitation. And the invitation from God is to spend forever with him in a renewed earth with a renewed body, in a restored relationship with God. God will have his Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. He will. Mm. He intended for us to live in harmony with him in a perfect place. And he will have his way. He cannot be defeated. He is God. So this heaven is not, please don't think floating on clouds and playing harps. That would get really boring. Yeah. The heaven that God has prepared for us will be the restored earth, the earth in all its splendor, and the restored universe in all its beauty. And you will have a renewed body, a body of a tearless body, a graveless, deathless body, a body that never grows weary, a mind that never gets confused. You will be you at your best. The earth will be the earth at its best. And society will be all people at their best. Can you imagine? You know, some people drive me crazy. And I know I drive other people crazy. But can you imagine being with people at their very best, so unselfish, so full of joy? And here's the big deal. No one will boast that they got there. No one will in heaven will ever say, look what I did. Yeah. Because we'll be saved by grace through faith so that no one can boast. No one can boast. We'll all boast about Jesus Christ. Mm. And I can't wait to see him. I tell you, I just am so excited to see him. You know, some people, some of us can't even get the plumber to call us back. It's hard. But someday we'll see Jesus Christ. We'll get to see him and worship him. Mm. Well, we'll be in the presence of God. And it's going to be a most extraordinary, wonderful thing. And that's the reason we have been made. So right now, this time on earth, we are making that decision. And when you say yes to Jesus, he says yes to you. And he takes up residence inside you. And he begins changing you from the inside out so that you can influence other people to make that same decision. The reason that we're not in heaven yet is because God's still using us on earth. Mm-hmm. But when he's finished with us, well, we'll get to go home. Nobody dies a minute before or later than they were intended to die. Mm-hmm. We will be here exactly as long as we need it to be. And once God's finished, he'll translate us into the presence of God. Mm.
Such a beautiful picture of eternity and brings tears to my eyes, Max. You know, for some of us, like you and I, John 3:16 is more than just a Bible verse. And in your book, you write it's a life vest that we've grabbed a hold of. And what if somebody's watching right now and they're saying, I like the sound of that life vest. What could they do right now? How could they tangibly begin that journey?
Well, the scripture, Sarah, gives you the answer. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him. Now, there's a great story about a Bible translator who went to the New Hebrides Islands and he could not find a word. He was trying to translate John 3:16 and he could not find the right word for believe. And he was with a native of the island, and they went on a hunt, and they carried a deer across the island. They were exhausted when they finally got to the missionary's house. And the native of the island went to the hammock, and he said, I'm going to, and he used a word which meant place himself completely in the hammock. And so the translator said, tell me that word. And he used that word to describe believe in Christ. Mm-hmm. In other words, you place yourself completely, mm-hmm. completely, you rest completely in the strength of Christ. Yeah. And so my answer to you would be just rest in Christ, trusting. It's not up to you. Just say simply, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in you. And deepen my faith so that I can grow in you. But I believe in you. It's really that simple.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And Jesus does that work with us as we journey. Thank you for being with us today, Max. It was such an honor to speak with you.
Oh, it's my honor. It's always a treat. God's richest blessings to be upon you.
Society tells us we should live for today, but have we considered what lies ahead tomorrow? God promises that he has a plan for you, a plan to give you hope and a future. If you're anxious about what tomorrow holds, call our 24/7 prayer lines at 1-866-273-4444 or visit crossroads.ca/24/7prayer. Anytime, anywhere, we're here for you.
Okay, Mark. So, and were you listening closely to that interview with Max Lucado?
I was.
Were you? Okay, then. So what is the 26-word Bible verse that Max says encapsulates the entire message of the Bible?
Okay, here it is. John chapter 3, verse 16. And like I told you before I recite it, you've probably seen 3:16 on t-shirts and stuff at ball games and that kind of thing. Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And there is so much packed into that verse, Lara. And really it is God's plan for humanity.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it does encapsulate the message of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's the greatest love story ever told. It's a story of redemption. Mm-hmm. You know, like this big chasm separated us from God because of sin entering the world at the beginning of time, as we know it. God is eternal and he is infinite. He is uncreated. We are created. And so at creation, there was this separation, and God made a way for that separation to be destroyed, eradicated, and a bridge built, and that was through Jesus.
Mm. So incredible. You know, it is the narrative that, you know, is throughout the Bible. It is the missional story of the Bible, right? This is God's goal for humanity, and it's incredible. I love that John, I love that Max has written this whole book on John 3:16. You know, he unpacks every single word just about in mm-hmm. this book. I was in tears as I read this book. So here I am dreaming about Max Lucado and also crying when I read the books. Mm-hmm. There you go. No, I'm kidding. But I was in tears because the story of God's relentless love for humanity, the story of God breaking into the darkness of what has happened in this world, right? With that message of redemption and hope and lives restored. And, you know, it's interesting. Max said some incredible things, and it was a really, there was a really big focus on God's love throughout what Max just shared, but also in the book. You know, and Max says some interesting things in the book that, you know, sometimes when we spend our lives telling God to be silent, eventually he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, you know, eternal separation from God and what does that look like. And for me, as I read that, it was so much less about the fire and brimstone. It was really about the rejection of a loving creator.
Right.
You know, who we at some point say we don't want to journey, you know, with God. I know what's best for me. And in that process, our hearts become hard. And I also reflect humbly that at any stage in our journey, our hearts can become hard. You know, even if you're in relationship with God and you're in relationship with Jesus and you say, I'm following Jesus. Once we decide we know what's best for us and it's not God who knows what's best for us, our hearts begin to harden and we can no longer see clearly.
Yeah, that's why it's so important that we daily ask God to give us hearts of flesh and not of stone, right? Because we know there is that tendency in our humanness for that to happen, right,
mm-hmm.
Lara?
Mm-hmm.
And it is daily sort of surrendering ourselves to his work in our lives. One thing I thought was interesting, and it might not be terminology that's familiar to some of our listeners today. We don't know where you're coming from, what kind of faith journey you've had up to this point. But hearing this whole idea of like rebirth and what does that look like? Unpack that a little bit, because there's a story specifically in the Bible where Jesus is not going to say challenged. He was just asked to explain, what does it mean to be reborn, right?
Well, right after Jesus says the words of John 3:16, and he's saying them to a religious leader named Nicodemus, who's come to him in the cover of night, right? Because he's feeling self-conscious about coming to this, you know, this man who...
Nicodemus knew there was something about Jesus
absolutely.
That was legit.
Absolutely.
But he had to do it in secret. He had to pursue Jesus in secret.
That's right. He really had to as well for probably his own safety. But later in that same conversation, Jesus said to Nicodemus that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And I think whether you're someone who is a Christian or you follow Jesus or have just heard the term born again, it can be actually super confusing. What mm-hmm. does this mean? It also sounds like something we can't accomplish. I don't know about you, but Max gets into the root of those words actually in Greek. And the words reflect the idea that it's not something we can do ourselves. It's a birth likened to when we were in our mother's womb, and we were, as a little fetus and a baby, being knit together, and it had nothing right. to do with the work we could do ourselves. It's something our mother's body is doing. It's something the cells are doing. So when Jesus is saying this to Nicodemus, he's very specific. You must be born again. You must be born in a way to a new being in a new form that actually is not something you can do for yourself. That's right. And it's supernatural.
Right. It's the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Yeah. Rebirthing you and really breathing new life into your being. Yeah. Like, I mean, it is new life. And those of us who walk with Jesus know mm-hmm. what it's like to have lived without Jesus and know the darkness and, dare I say the word, sort of the death that perhaps we were the walking dead, if you will, and then the new life that has been breathed into us and what that means and how that's changed, you know, our lives and perspective, right?
I think a lot of people need to even hear an unpacking of that. It's like, you know, prior to when I met Jesus at 17, right, I felt a lot of pain inside, but I also didn't feel inspired in my mind. I didn't feel full of joy. So it's your emotions and it's your thinking. And I remember when I encountered Jesus by going forward at a church and someone prayed with me, I felt this love enter me that I'd never experienced. And it's supernatural. It's hard to explain what that is, but it is this new life. Like, it's God's love coming into us as he recreates us while we're here in our mind, our will, our emotions. It's very, very deep. It's a very deep spiritual principle. But when we talk about this new life we're experiencing, that's what it's like. So, you know, you experience levels of healing you might not have, or new perspectives, like, and the strength and the grace to do different things. Like Jesus says, you know, pray for your enemies. I don't know that I would have done that before I had experienced the love of God. But now I can pray for my enemies because I know the love of God. I know that strength it gives you and that new kind of new life power you experience. It's very profound. It's really deep.
Yeah, yeah. And that power you feel in your life when the Spirit of God fills you is very unnatural. It is supernatural, as you've described. And that work that he does in us, I kind of use the analogy that it's like returning us to our original purpose and intention. Like, that's God good. Intended us to be the way we are once we are found in Christ. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, we're going back to what we were originally intended to be.
Yes.
And because of this fallen world and the world in which we live, we decide at some point that we can do life ourselves, and we kind of decide that we want to pursue only the pleasures of this world and only things that sort of drive us forward. Before we come to that place, when we are introduced to Jesus and here's another big, maybe a churchy word, repent or change our mind or change our direction and walk in another direction, that means we are walking with Jesus hand in hand. So, you know, maybe you're listening right now and you're wondering, you know, what does this even reborn, born again mean? What does it mean to walk with Jesus? It means asking Jesus to come into your life, come into your narrative and walk the journey of life that he so desires to walk with you and to fill you with his love.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Max does a beautiful thing near the end of that interview, right, where he says to walk with Jesus is really to rest in Jesus, to say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with the future. I trust you with everything around me. And there's so much freedom in that. I think we often think it's bigger. Like, I went forward at a church, but you don't have to. You could be sitting right at home right now listening. And it's as simple as, you know, God, I need you in my life. Jesus, come into my life. I want to walk with you. It's so simple.
So
because
simple.
God has been watching you since the day you were born, right? We forget that. Mm-hmm. But we have this loving Father, this Creator who's watching us. And I think too, like, you know, Max points out that he's waiting. Like, you know, we spend a lifetime ignoring God, right? But sometimes we don't. He's waiting for us to say hi. Oh, hi. Oh, there you are. And he's saying, oh, there you are. Let's yes. do this together. Let's do this together. Let me show you what abundant life is and new life.
And just know that nothing can separate you from God's love.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Some people go through life feeling like I've done too many wrong things. I've allowed too much of a gap between me and God. There's just no returning. There's no forgiveness for what I've done. Listen, the Bible says there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God.
Yeah.
In Christ Jesus. like Lara said, it's simply those few words. Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Change my life. I repent for all my wrongdoing and trying to do things my own way. I want to do it your way. Let me walk with you and teach me your ways. And he will.
So true. So good. Oh, Mark, there's so much inspiration here. You know, and if you're listening right now and you're making that decision, you're making that decision. And maybe you've said it in a way we've just said it. Jesus, yeah. Yes. Jesus, okay. Jesus, take the wheel. Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but it's time. And we have incredible people standing by to connect with you. We have prayer partners. These are anonymous calls, so you can just call. They are some of the most prayed up and people who are so loving, deeply full of love. Yeah, God's love. It's incredible. And they'll just sit and chat with you about the decision you want to make to follow Jesus, walk with Jesus, and give you resources, because I think, Mark, too, sometimes we forget to go and connect with other people who are walking with Jesus, and it weakens us. We don't understand actually the depth of where we can go with God. We don't realize it, and we kind of can miss our footing in a new journey with Jesus. So just making sure that, you know, you check out a church near you.
Get into community. Yeah. You need someone to walk that journey with you.
Or tune into us.
Or tune into Huntley Street on the program or on our podcast.
We are here for you.
That's right. And if you would like that phone number to our prayer center that Lara just mentioned, you can call 1-866-273-4444. I'll give it to you again. 1-866-273-4444, or you can go to Crossroads, or you can send us an email, prayer@crossroads.ca. And a lot of people are getting on chat now on certain websites. We have a chat icon. You can chat with our digital pastor, crossroads.ca, and just look for the icon on the main page. So yeah, we've got a number of ways you can reach out to us. We want to be accessible to you. We want to be a voice of hope, whether we're on the air or whether we're chatting with you through our digital portals or praying with you over the phone. We're here for you. We just want you to know that.
Well, we certainly are. And you know, God is there for you right now, and he has likely led you to listen in right now. So we're thankful for you today, and we hope you tune in next time, because we're excited about this journey together.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Center of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.